Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast.
I really, really don't want to hear it.
So glad you could join me. I appreciate it. And today I'll be talking about music and TV and, life in general. And I think y'all know me by now, and you know that I don't like to complain.
Could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, well, not all the time anyway. But sometimes stuff just bugs me and I gotta say something. And the other day, my 10-year-old stepson comes in and he says, "Hey, Dad, guess what? Today at school, they gave us our new laptops." And I'm like, "Laptop?" And he's like, "Yeah, we all get laptops." And sure enough, the same kid that will break his own toy an hour after it's given to him is somehow responsible enough to carry around a computer. And who has decided that this is okay? Well, our public school system.
Yay!
You see, when I was 10 years old, I was still trying to figure out how to use a pencil. But today, those things are not important, and the schools don't really care what the parents think about it. They are going to give every fifth grader a computer, whether you like it or not. So after school, when you see your kid laying on his back on the sofa with a laptop on his chest, just know that he is doing homework. And I understand we live in an age now where technology has gone berserk. And whereas kids used to go outside and ride their bikes and play sports, now they can just stay inside and not move a muscle. They'd rather just play video games than learn how to shoot a jump shot or hit a baseball. They'd rather watch YouTube or Netflix than learn how to play a guitar. And it kind of makes me wonder, 20 years from now, are there going to be any athletes or musicians anymore?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm not going to worry about it. Because I may not even be around in 20 years, and trying to convince my 10-year-old that he should get off his butt is a waste of my time. He may be a good kid, but one thing he doesn't do is pay any attention to what I have to say.
But nobody does.
I literally have to tell him every single time we get in the car to buckle his seatbelt, but somehow he can never remember. Oh, sure, he can remember his YouTube password or his phone passcode, but just somehow can't remember to clean the cat box or put that seatbelt on. And so the other day, I pull into this parking lot, and he's in the back seat with his window down. And I see this cop standing out there, and so I slowly drive by him. And the officer looks right at the boy and says, "Put on your seatbelt." And I turn around and I look at the boy, and sure enough, he's sitting there without it on. And I say, yeah, now you gonna listen to the police?" And he looked all embarrassed, and I thought, well, good, maybe he's finally learned his lesson. But no, I still have to tell him every single time we get in the car. Alright, anyway, moving on, here's something I can't complain about, and that's getting emails from you guys. And you sent me a lot of questions this time that I will get to in a moment, but I'm going to start out with one from Phil Robinson. And Phil sent me a YouTube link, and he said, "Hey, Monty, here's a goofy yet surprisingly good metal cover of Africa by Toto." And so I went and checked it out, and it was by this guy named Leo, and I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm not even going to bother to try. But he's got hundreds of videos up with millions of views, and the guy is actually really talented. He plays all the instruments, including drums. And I like this cover version, so I'm going to play it for you now. The wild dogs growl in the night. I say, oh, restless longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right. As sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. Seek to cure what's deep inside, fighting off this thing that I've become. It's coming to So thanks to Phil for sending me that link. I really enjoyed that song. But the only problem was is that I started watching all the other videos by this Leo guy, and I couldn't stop. Most of them are pretty funny, and he'll also have guest guitarists come on and play the leads. And some of these guys are just amazing. For instance, he did a cover of this song by Adele, and he had a guitar player named Pete Cottrell on there. And check this out. Alright, well you can check out more of that stuff for yourself on YouTube. But right now I've got more emails, and like usual, a lot of them had to do with Galactic Cowboys. And a lot of people are excited about the new album, which should be out this fall. But some people, like Craig, just had some random questions about GC. And his first one was, do you have a favorite album by Galactic Cowboys, and why?
They all suck.
Well, Craig, I would still have to say it's Space in Your Face. I thought the first one had some really good songs on it, as did all our albums. But I thought the second one just sounded better, we tightened up the arrangements, and it's still just my favorite one. Craig's second question is, Galactic Cowboys is obviously a great vocal band. I would guess influences included the Beatles, Queen, and 10cc. Who influenced you vocally or musically? Well, yeah, definitely the Beatles. They still influence us. But I'd say pretty much anything that has harmonies in it. I grew up listening to a lot of gospel quartet music, but I also was into a lot of classic rock in the late 70s and had bands like Styx and Kansas, and a lot of bands just, had harmonies. And so when I started GC in the late 80s, well, you know, I took the stuff that I was into at the time, which was Metallica and Anthrax and Megadeth, and mixed it with all that harmony stuff.
That's never before been done in American history.
And speaking of Kansas, Craig's last question is, Kansas is a great band. How did you hook up with Carrie Livgren on your Crunchy album? Well, Craig, I was a huge Kansas fan in the 70s, and Carrie Livgren was my hero. I did a painting of him when I was about 18 years old, and I was just a huge fan. But I had no idea that someday Carrie would actually hear Galactic Cowboys and like us. And when I moved to Missouri, I had a chance to meet Carrie Livgren, and I walked up to him and said, "Hi, Carrie, I'm Monty. I play with Galactic Cowboys." And he was like, "Hey man, I love your band." And he asked me to sing on one of his songs, so I went over to his studio in Topeka, Kansas. And while he's setting my mic up, he looks at me and says, "Hey, I've always wanted to know, is that phone conversation on that song, Where Are You Now, made up or real?" And at that point I thought, wow, he really does know our music. And so that was really cool. And a few years later, when I was working on my Crunchy Loserville album, I got a hold of Carrie and asked him if he'd play a solo on one of my songs. And he very graciously said yes and did so, and it was just a dream come true. So anyway, thanks for those questions, Craig. And I got another one here from Jeff Moore. And he says, "Hey, Monty, man, I just wanted to drop you a line and let you know that I have been listening to the first couple of GC CDs the past couple of days. I haven't heard them in a while, and I am just blown away by the songwriting and the arrangement of those songs. I have been paying a lot of attention to how songs are structured because I've been trying to write some originals with the band I've been playing with. I get frustrated when I think that it sounds too much like something else, but our bass player in the band said, 'So what? Everything sounds like something else.' I'm going to have to play the first two Galactic Cowboy CDs for him because they don't sound like anything else, and that's awesome. So my question is, hey, Monty, do you have any tips on songwriting that you can share with me?" Well, Jeff, I think the first thing I would tell somebody who wanted to improve their songwriting is just really work at it. When I first started out trying to write songs, most of them sucked. But I was having a blast and I just kept doing it. And I would record each song and I would put it on a cassette tape. And after I filled up one side, I would fill up the other. And after a while, I had about 10 cassette tapes just full of songs.
What a ridiculous waste of time!
Another thing I do is always keep a journal. If I get a lyric or a title in my head, I write it down. The same goes with riffs. If you come up with a good one, immediately record it. Don't lose it. Sometimes I'll come up with a riff or a melody in my head, and if I'm driving, I'll just get my phone and sing it right in there.
Very dangerous.
Another thing I do is I'll go back and listen to old songs that didn't get used, and a lot of times there will be like one part that's actually kind of cool, and I'll use it. Or maybe the chorus was good and the rest of the song sucked, so I'll take the chorus and write a new song. And I even did that recently for a song that's going to be on the new Galactic Cowboys album. One day I went back and I was listening to some demos for the Crunchy Loserville CD. And there was this one tune that didn't go on that album that I thought, you know, that's got some potential. And so I took one of the riffs and the chorus melody and basically rearranged the whole thing. And then Ben and I got together and wrote some new lyrics for it, and it ended up being really great. So don't be afraid to try things like that. It's like when I'm doing a drawing. Sometimes I gotta get that eraser out and take some stuff out. And oftentimes if I redraw it, it'll end up better than the original.
That's almost profound.
So put in the work, listen to other songwriters and learn from them. And try not to worry too much about writing something that no one's ever heard before. Because if you do that, you're probably just going to get bogged down and end up with writer's block. So what I do is I just write. And then later, if you figure out, oh, wait a minute, that sounds like something else, well, at that point, you just change it.
I mean, that's genius, isn't it?
The last comment that I have about songwriting is that you can always get better by working at it. But I think sometimes there's also just an element of it being a gift. Like when a great melody just suddenly comes into your head out of nowhere, it's kind of hard to explain that. However, I don't usually just wait around for something to pop into my head. So I would say if you want to get better at songwriting, the best thing to do is just put in the time.
Just give me a break. Get a job, man.
So that was a good topic. I love talking about songwriting. And if any of you have any questions like that, feel free to ask. But here's another question from a Rockcast listener, and this one comes from Chris in Baltimore, who says, "Hey, Monty, how you been?"
Well, that's a dumb question.
Well, Chris, thanks for asking. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a little better. I told you on the last episode that I had kidney stones, and I just got diagnosed as being a type 2 diabetic. And so I decided to change my diet. And I cut out all the sweets like cookies and candy and all that that I love. I also stopped drinking Gatorade and soda. And believe it or not, in about 2 or 3 weeks, I actually lost about 15 pounds. So that's good, but there are actually a few things that I just cannot resist. Number one is my wife. If she walks across the room and looks at me and raises that sexy eyebrow, I am like putty in her hands.
Yeah!
But number two is donuts. I still have never refused a donut if it's offered to me, nor will I ever. And the other day, I broke down and had a cinnamon roll, and I felt like crap afterwards, but it was still worth it. But for the most part, I've been a really good boy. Instead of all the desserts and stuff like that, I now eat fruit. A lot of grapes and plums and oranges and strawberries, and it's really good stuff.
The normal reaction to that would be whoop-de-doo.
Let's see, what else? Oh, I haven't told you about my cats in a while.
Oh my God.
We have two cats because my wife loves them, but I, on the other hand, think they're useless. And of course, I've told you about Mr. Kitty. All he does is lay around and lick himself. And I couldn't believe it, but the other day Lindsay told me that we've had him for 3 years now. And the first few months we had him, I thought he was pretty cool and I kind of loved him. And then I decided that I hated him. But recently we kind of came to an understanding where I would rub his belly occasionally if he would stop tearing up the carpet. And because of this arrangement, I've decided that I don't completely despise him anymore. He could still take or leave me, but for the most part, I'm cool with him. However, the other cat we have is a female, and she's named Macy. And we've had her for about a year now, and at first she wouldn't have anything to do with any of us. But I thought over time she would warm up and become one of those lap kittens. But no, every time I walk into a room, she runs like she's just seen a terrorist. She won't come near me, and she basically just hates the whole family.
Isn't that just precious?
But anyway, that's what's been going on with me, and I know you don't care anything about that, because after all, this isn't a show about cats.
This is a dog and pony show.
Now, Chris in Baltimore also let me know that recently on the Chris Jericho podcast that he was talking to Brian Slagle from Metal Blade Records, and the subject of Galactic Cowboys came up. And, of course, everyone knows who Chris Jericho is, famous wrestler, singer for Fozzy. And he's also got a great podcast, so I went and checked it out to hear what they had to say, and I heard this.
Metal band if they're on Metal Blade. That was always the thing in my mind. Like, you know, if it's on Bonzai or Metal Blade, it's going to be good.
But we run the gamut, though, from, you know, the super heavy to King's X and, you know, everything else.
So. You had King's X on Metal Blade? That's right, after the first couple releases.
Yeah.
Did you have Galactic Cowboys too?
Absolutely.
I love that band, man.
Me too.
God, that Space in Your Face album has to be in my top 100 of all time.
Amazing. They're definitely one of those bands when you ask, like, who should have been bigger, Galactic Cowboys. They were so amazing. Yes. Wrong place at the wrong time, I guess.
Yeah.
Very kind words from two guys that I really like a lot. After we got dropped by Geffen back in the early 90s, Brian Slagle came along and signed us. And we ended up doing four more albums, and he really extended our career, and I've always appreciated that. And Chris Jericho's been really cool also, because he actually played one of my crunchy songs on his satellite radio show. And of course, he is a really good singer for his band, Fozzy. And in case you didn't know, the guitar player for Fozzy is Rich Ward from Stuck Mojo, a band that I have loved for years. And the other day I was on YouTube and I ran onto a reunion concert for Stuck Mojo and it was great. They sounded awesome and Rich Ward just has this massive sick tone that slays. And so I haven't played any Stuck Mojo in a while on this show and I'm sure Rich Ward wouldn't mind. So here you go.
Money, that ain't funny, I got
live for today.
One life to live full of stress and strife. Obstacles and chaos anytime. Meaning God, I can tell you things that are wrong and some are right.
So that's Stuck Mojo, and if you like that rap rock kind of stuff, you might want to check out this band. I discovered them a few months ago. They're called Backwords. It's spelled B-A-C-K-W-O-R-D-Z. And the thing I like about this band is, yes, they have a rapper, but they also have a great singer. They've got some really nice choruses, some great melodies, and they sound a lot like this.
Yo, the government is full of dopes, bro. You and I both know they broke within the choke, though. You might as well run it back. They dropped the ball like running backs. We got robbed, that's a funny fact. That you not getting your money back. But I'm okay with that if that means that my kids ain't sold through slavery. The state is not saving me, and I don't win from A to Z. I know the ins and outs, so please keep that stuff away from me. I'm not talking about reform. I'm saying stop selling assets or being born.
Pushing forward.
The name of the band is Backwords, and the name of the CD is Veracity. I checked into them a little bit online, and it turns out they're from Texas, and apparently they're also libertarians. So the lyrics are a little political, and the music jams.
Criminal justice reform is a euphemism for a bunch of dumb booty slaves with Stockholm Central. Thinking they'll be held to the same standard, don't do it, boy, so they can investigate themselves and find out.
So that was Backwards, and if you like that, go check it out.
I will not!
All right, and now for one of your top 10 lists. And this one is from Scott Gibson. And he says, "Hey Monty, I have a new top 10 list that I hope gets me into the playoffs for the third year in a row. It is a list of fictitious tours that if you heard them announced, the combination of artists' names should make you chuckle." Okay, Scott, well, sounds interesting. Let's check out your fictitious tours. And it starts out at number 10 with Rat opening for Skid Row. Number 9 is Modest Mouse opening for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Number 8 is Disciple opening for Ministry. Okay, I get it. Disciple, a Christian band, I believe, opening for Ministry, who is not a Christian band. Number 7 is Twisted Sister opening for Kiss. Number 6 is Drunk Engines opening for Galactic Cowboys. I see what you're doing there. Cowboys and Indians, or Engines. Whatever. Number 5 is In Flames opening for Firehouse. Number 4 is Saliva opening for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Number 3 is Blur opening for Everclear. Number 2 is The Music opening for The Band.
You gotta laugh at all this.
And number 1 of fictitious tours that would make us chuckle, Poison opening for The Cure. Well, very interesting and creative list, Scott. You definitely get points for that. Will it get you into the playoffs? Well, we won't know that until March. But that can only mean that everyone still has time to send me your lists. And they can be about anything. Music, pop culture, sports, I don't care. Politics, food, or why you love the Rock Cast. Okay, well, let's move on to some more emails, and I've got one here from Steve in Connecticut, and he says, "Hey, hey, hey, Monty, sorry to hear about your kidney stones. Glad to see you're doing okay. Got a few questions for you. Number 1, Van Halen with Gary Cherone, rock or not?"
Oh!
You know, Steve, I'll be honest, I don't even think I heard that whole album.
No.
I remember seeing a video for one song off that album, and then I never bought it, but I heard everybody saying it sucked, so I never looked into it further. So I can't really say if it rocked or not without hearing it, so why don't I go on YouTube and let's hear it together.
Oh, yes!
This blows.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that did suck.
Yeah!
I guess everybody was right. So I will say Van Halen with Gary Cherone, not. Steve's next question is, are you planning on touring up in Connecticut when the new Galactic Cowboys CD comes out? Well, I get asked almost every single day about touring from either fans or the label or somebody. And what I keep telling people is, I don't know, but I can't see us doing any long tours. Everyone in the band has other commitments to other things, and we've got families, I've got kids, I'm happily married now, and so honestly, we just can't be gone for months at a time. But we have talked about doing some short stints, maybe a week or two here and there. So we'll just have to wait and see, but nothing in the way of tours has been scheduled as of right now. However, I do have an announcement that I will be making at the end of this show that I think you'll be interested in. So make sure you stick around for that.
Well, I mean, can you imagine what that would be?
Steve's last question is, Monty, what's worse, passing a kidney stone or having teenagers in your house? He says, my oldest is 12 and I'm not looking forward to those teen years.
I think we need to have the answer to that.
Okay, kidney stones or teenagers in the house. All right, this is a tough one. I'm going to have to think about this and maybe break it down a little bit.
Huh?
So, on one hand, kidney stones are very painful, especially in your stomach and lower abdomen.
Right.
On the other hand, teenagers are kind of a pain in the ass.
That's true.
Let's see, what else? Kidney stones will just kind of lay there inside of you until they finally leave or they are extracted.
Yeah.
With teenagers, they just kind of lay there until they go to college or you kick them out.
That's a brilliant point, is it not?
Kidney stones are calcium buildups that are no respecter of man.
That's correct.
Teenagers are self-absorbed, entitled little humans that have no respect for anyone.
Petulant, spoiled brats.
Kidney stones make you feel like you've been kicked in the gonads.
It hurts.
Teenagers make you feel like you've been kicked in the gonads repeatedly. So, which is worse? Yeah, I gotta go with the teenagers.
What did you just say?
Yeah, I'm going teenagers.
I can't believe I'm hearing this!
You raise them, you protect them, and you provide for them. In return, they resent you and look at you like you're stupid.
Say what you want about them, the man knows what he's talking about!
Thanks to Steve for those questions, but I was thinking about something the other day. And I don't know what it's like for you guys when you have dinner.
What?
I know some people eat in the dining room or in the kitchen, but I'll be honest, in my house, we eat in the living room on TV trays, and we watch TV. And I'm not making this up. The other day, we're about to sit down and eat, and Lindsay turns to me and says, "Hey, Monty, what's on TV?" No, seriously, she said that. And I said, well, a bunch of stuff. For instance, there's a series on Netflix called Ozarks. It's actually filmed right here in Missouri, and it stars Jason Bateman. They've done one season of it so far. It's a drama, and it's kind of like Breaking Bad or something like that. So if you've got Netflix, you might want to check that out.
Nobody wants to see it.
Now, I've also watched some stuff recently that I wish I hadn't. Like, all summer long, for months, we watched America's Got Talent. And I saw things like overweight gay guys dancing, a clown being shot out of a cannon, and some of the worst dog acts that I've ever seen. But what it all boils down to is what all of TV boils down to these days. Do you fit into a politically correct category? Or do you have a really good story that tugs at everybody's heartstrings? And so in the finals, you had a deaf girl that could somehow sing with perfect pitch. You had a 12-year-old that had just lost her dad. You had a 9-year-old Hispanic girl who had been through surgery at a young age. And a black girl who was disfigured in a plane crash. Now don't get me wrong, I felt sorry for all of them. But there was a certain point where I just said, please, do I have to hear this story again? Can't you just go ahead and sing and get it over with? But oh no, for months we heard about how brave these people are, and yeah, I'm sure they are. But God, could I just have a little less tragedy with my entertainment?
It's very compassionate of you.
Anyway, it gets down to the final two, and it's between the 9-year-old singer and an obnoxious 12-year-old ventriloquist. And they finally announce the winner, and the $1 million prize goes to this little kid that's a ventriloquist. And I turn to Lindsay and I say, wow, I feel like I just wasted the last 3 months of my life watching this crap.
You did!
Something else I wasted my time watching was the MTV Music Video Awards. Even though MTV doesn't play music videos anymore, they still have an award show. And I remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, when it actually used to be interesting. I mean, they used to have rock bands on there like Queensryche. And then there was that year Poison played and CC DeVille started playing the wrong song. And it was just a complete train wreck. And I remember seeing Faith No More on there. And of course, who could forget the time that Slash and Duff from Guns N' Roses got up there drunk? And they started cussing, and everybody was like, wow, I can't believe that just happened. Well, now, cursing is the least of the things you need to worry about. If you make it through the whole show without seeing two dudes make out or watching Miley Cyrus simulate sex with a midget, consider it a win. I usually recap the whole thing and tell you about it, but not this year. It was the same old thing with Nicki Minaj, Katy Perry, and a bunch of rappers. And by the end of it, I just felt like I needed a shower. But what do you expect? It's MTV. Back in the 80s, they decided that they were not only going to try and destroy music, but they were also going to just try and corrupt all of society in general. But they do have a show on now that I might have to watch just out of curiosity. It's called 90s House, and it's kind of like The Real World, remember that? Except now they've taken a bunch of 18 to 20 year old morons and put them in this house where everything is like the 90s. And the whole premise of the show is to see if these spoiled assholes can deal with life without updated technology. Yeah, I saw some previews and they were like, oh my god, how am I gonna survive without my iPhone?
This almost seems cruel.
So that's what's on TV, but I'm sure what you're all asking is, what's up with Galactic Cowboys?
They're not saying that.
Well, let me tell you.
Just do it!
I told you earlier that I had an announcement for you, and you may have already heard by now, but if you're not on Facebook all the time, let me fill you in. We are going to be playing a record release show December 1st in Houston, Texas. And it's going to be at a club called Fitzgerald's. And the cool thing about that is that Fitzgerald's has been there for years. And I have so many memories from that place. I saw Fishbone there one time. I saw Soundgarden when nobody knew who they were. And that night the club was so empty that Chris Cornell jumped down onto an empty dance floor and sang the last song by himself.
Which is just unbelievably amazing.
Fitzgerald's was also a place that The Awful Truth used to play, and Galactic Cowboys played there two or three times, and so going back there will be kind of nostalgic.
That to me is tremendously exciting.
So I hope you can make it. As far as I know, it's going to be the only show that we do in 2017. But we'll be celebrating the new album, we'll be playing songs off there, but we're also going to play a bunch of old stuff. So make your plans, book those airline tickets, I've already got mine, and buy your tickets to the show early. We're hoping to pack that place out and rock it.
All hell's going to break loose, folks. You better get ready.
In other GC news, well, if you haven't heard yet, the new album will be out November 17th. And I can finally tell you that the name of the album is Long Way Back to the Moon. And if you want that, you can pre-order it now. You can just go to galacticcowboys.com and there's a link on there. And right now, Mascot Records is offering a pre-order bundle. You can get it on vinyl, and it comes with a t-shirt. And I did the artwork for all of it, and it looks so good that I'm tempted to pre-order it myself.
You should!
Also, you've probably seen it by now, but we released a new video on YouTube. It's for a song off the new album called Internal Masquerade. And I gotta tell you, I've just been blown away by the reaction. People have just been loving the song and the video, and it just makes us feel great to hear that. Because, you know, we've been away for a long time, and you never know what it's gonna be like when you come back and say, okay, here's our new stuff. But you guys are telling me that you love it, and that is so good to hear. And of course, we've heard these songs for the last year or two, but we haven't been able to play them for anybody. And so it's really exciting for us now to let you hear them. So like I said, the name of the song is Internal Masquerade, and there's a story behind this song.
Now he has a story to tell, and what a story.
About 8 years ago, I had just started dating my wife, Lindsay, and she told me when she was in high school, she wrote a lot of poetry, and I said, well, I'd like to read it sometime. And so she emailed me a bunch of her poems, and I started reading it, and I went, wow, some of these lyrics I could actually make songs out of. And so I wrote the song, and I took some of her words and used them for the verses. And I made a demo, but I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I thought about maybe I'll sell it to somebody, or maybe I'll use it for Crunchy. But I never really thought about it being a galactic song. But then about a year or two ago, I was going through some of my old demos, and I came across that one, and I played it for Ben. And Ben was like, man, that's a really good song. We ought to do that. And at that very moment, I looked at Ben straight in the eye, and I said, okay.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
There you have it. That's some new GC, and that is going to do it for another episode of the Rockcast. If you want to get a hold of me, you can do so on Facebook or at my website, MontyColvin.net. And while you're at my website, you can also check out my CDs, t-shirts, and paintings. And seriously, dudes, if you don't have a Rockcast t-shirt yet, you should definitely get one. They're very cool, and let's face it, most of you aren't cool. You could use some cool in your life.
Yeah!
Alright, I'm gonna play you out now with a new song from CJ Wildheart. Fabrice in France turned me onto this because he knows I'm a big Wildhearts fan. And this new album rocks. The guitars are massive. So check this out. I will be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
It's over.